1420 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin here in New York, where Donald Trump will return for the second day of jury selection in the first ever criminal trial of a former U.S. president. He's charged with 34 counts of falsifying records to allegedly hide hush money payments to former adult film star Stormy Daniels. Correspondent Matt Piper has details from Manhattan.
The judge reminded Donald Trump that he must be in court every day of the trial and issued a standard warning given to all criminal defendants that he will be subject to arrest if he fails to show up. At the end of the day Monday, the judge denied Trump's request to let him attend arguments next week before the Supreme Court over his claim of presidential immunity in one of his federal cases.
Dozens of jurors were dismissed yesterday after they said they could not be fair and impartial. The Supreme Court hears arguments today that could impact Trump's election interference case, as well as charges against hundreds of January 6th rioters. At issue, the federal charge of obstruction of an official proceeding. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
The defendants are claiming that this statute doesn't apply at all. It only applies in sort of the corporate setting when you're destroying records or documents.
Israel's military chief hinting at retaliation after an Iranian air attack over the weekend.
Iran will face the consequences for its actions. We will choose our response accordingly.
Almost all 170 drones and 30 cruise missiles were shot down before they reached Israel. House Speaker Mike Johnson pushing for votes on aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan in four separate bills this week.
The overall concept is the same. It's the same places that the funding would be sent, and you'll see the House's take on it. That's how this process works. These are two separate chambers. I can't be responsible for what happens in the Senate.
Conservatives staunchly opposed to a single bill over the Ukraine aid portion. A federal judge is fining the state of Texas $100,000 a day for a broken foster care system. Reporter Chris Fox.
Texas has addressed allegations of sexual and physical abuse of the state's most vulnerable children with shocking carelessness, including numerous instances where kids were left in harm's way for more than a year. Those are the words of U.S. District Judge Janice Graham Jack in leveling the fine. It's the third time since 2015 she found the state in contempt on the issue.
College hoops all-time leading scorer and WNBA bound.
The Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Clark, the number one draft pick. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us Tuesday on Midday Magazine as we welcome the Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department and the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties from 3 to 4 only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A statue honoring the first black woman elected to statewide office in Wisconsin is going up in front of the state capitol building in Madison this summer. The project got final approval Friday. Vell Phillips was elected Wisconsin's Secretary of State in 1978. The O.J. Simpson murder trial 30 years ago had a lasting impact on the way Americans consume news. Commentators became a fixture of trial coverage, and they're still used to interpret current events to this day.
It also meant that people could suspend their critical thinking to a certain extent, and I believe we're still seeing that today. The rise of social media has only made it easier.
Jane Kirkley teaches media studies at the University of Minnesota.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks prepare for the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks holding practice sessions, getting ready for game one of their best of seven playoff series against the Indiana Pacers. Did the Bucks take their foot off the gas in their loss to Orlando, knowing they would host game one in Milwaukee? Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Somewhat, but a little different. You know, listen, we didn't play well down the stretch. Had a lot of stuff going on. And then mentally, I just think, you know, when you know you're in, you know you got home court. I don't think that we handled that very well. And we just got to keep playing until we get to the fourth round.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Padres 7-3. It's the first time this season Milwaukee's lost two games in a row. Starting pitcher Joe Ross held San Diego to just one run until things fell apart in the fifth.
I was sick the way that happened, just because Ross is throwing the ball so well. You know, broken bat hit, bloop hit, infield hit.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A little sunshine this morning, but clouds will increase with scattered thunderstorms by late this afternoon. It's going to be windy and colder with a high of 61 today. Rain tonight and tomorrow, an inch to an inch and a half or more possible by the time everything winds down late tomorrow afternoon. Our high tomorrow, 62. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, the importance of helping Wisconsin farmers find and keep good export customers without political interference.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to hour number two on this Monday night edition of Nightlight. Great to have you with me. I am Pete Schwabba. Conrad is riding shotgun, working the board, taking the texts, washing the clothes. It is National Laundry Day, folks. So what is the appropriate amount of times you can wear clothes without washing them? Conrad's mom finally checking in. I was getting worried. Paula says, it's not how long you can go without washing. It's how much your family can handle before they say, wash your clothes. It stinks. I'm guessing you don't hear that from your mom, Conrad.
I mean, maybe when I was younger, definitely.
Probably stuck with you. coming up at 8:35 from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Chris Foran will join me. We're going to talk about the new Chris Farley movie that's in the works based on the book by his brother. Right now, I'm talking with film producer, director, writer, and just filmmaker. Bob Brown is with me. He is a Michigan-based filmmaker and a very good friend of mine. Bob, where were we?
We were going to chat about Grounded.
Yes, let's do Grounded. But before we get to Grounded, Conrad, we have a little surprise for you, Bob. It's about a minute long, and it's going to help you make even millions of more dollars on Escanaba in the Moonlight. Go ahead, Conrad.
The loins of our union, Big Betty Ballou and me bore two boys, Reuben and Remnar. I'll tell you right up front, they are not the sharpest tools in the shed. Remnar turned out to be pretty much what you'd expect from somebody who went by the name of Remnar. But Reuben, well, Reuben was a different story. Reuben spent his whole life without hanging a single buck on a buck pole. That ain't a big to-do if you're just another fudge sucker bopping over the bridge, but for a sody. Luckily, that Injun gal had a way with him.
Wolf Moon Dance, will you still love me if I come back without a buck?
Now, some things fit together better than others, and it's hard to say how somebody who was so much a part of the natural order of things would fall in love with somebody wasn't so natural. But she did. And lucky for him. Because as great-grandpa Alphonse always said, behind every good man is a woman who can hunt.
See that, Bob? You put it on YouTube, or somebody's putting it on YouTube, and it allows us to rate it. And that's Harv Presnell, the very funny Harv Presnell, who's been in Coen Brothers stuff and was also in Super Sucker for you. You had a great cast. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Harv's a great guy. So when I first met Harv, he showed up, and I was stopped in. He was at a wardrobe fitting, and he was putting on his coveralls. And I looked at Harv, he was a big guy, very big guy, 6'6", probably 6'7".
He looks like a big guy.
Yeah, I looked at those coveralls. And I go, man, those aren't going to fit. And so he says, oh, don't worry about it. And he's pulling and grunting and groaning, getting up. And he turns around and goes, so? And I go, what? He goes, how's my package look? I go, hadn't looked hard. But I thought, here's the funny man. This is a funny guy. We're going to get along just fine.
If you had a nickel for every old guy who asked you that question, Bob, you'd never have to make another film.
That's right.
All right, so check out Escanab in the Moonlight. You won't be let down. It's a really fun, feel-good film. Jeff Daniels, Harv Presnell is in it. It's a great cast. Very well done. Let's move on. Your new film is Grounded. You shot it in Tennessee. Tell us about Grounded.
So Grounded is it's a true story. It's based on the life of a very dear friend of mine who I met when I was six. He was kind of like...
Wow.
The older brother I never had. And the weird thing about it is we were pals for maybe, you know, 6 years. And we both grew up spending our summers on this little peninsula that sticks out in Saginaw Bay called Sand Point. And he had five sisters and himself. So he always came down to my house. And he was just, again, like the older brother I never had. And of course, then he went to college. We lost touch. In 1993, I had built a place on Sand Point for my family, and he bought a place on Sand Point for his family, and he's a pilot, and there was this guy who was flying the seaplane up and down the shoreline. And so he pulled it up on the beach and spun it around, and I walked down to just to check out this airplane, and he walks around the corner, and we're chatting for a minute, and I go, Dave, and he says, Bob, and so we reunited. In 1993, and our families, our kids were the same ages, and our wives hit it off as friends, and so we became close friends again in 1993. Yeah. So it's based on his life, and basically, Pete, the thing about it is that, you know, we've all lived more, we've all experienced more, we've had more ups and more downs, as have been fortunate enough to continue gracing the face of the earth, and thematically, this movie is very different because it's a, you know, it's a biography, it's a drama, it's about family and love and loss. And Dave sat me down one day and he goes, you know, I want to tell you part of my story that you don't know. And he told me this story about his life. And he's a very, very successful man, but he missed the point of living to a great degree. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because it reminds me of me in certain ways, and it reminds me of everybody else that I sit back and watch in a lot of ways. And, you know, and Dave in his life, he thought he was living his best life. He thought he was living correctly until life turns around and knocks you in the head.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you realize, maybe I'm not correct. Maybe I'm not living life the way I want to live it. And so we took that story and we created a very touching, very moving feature film. And, you know, I tested the movies like I always do with a blind audience. And the test scores were through the roof. And so...
But they were blind?
Yes. No, they were blind. They were... They were uninformed.
Oh, you're a stickler, man.
all they knew was that they were coming in to see a drama. They didn't know who was in it. They didn't know what it was about. It was, you know, you go into a city, you recruit an audience, you're going to buy them a popcorn and a Coke and give them a free movie ticket, and they're going to sit down and talk to you for a half hour, 45 minutes, and they're going to fill out this questionnaire and score the movie for you. For your benefit. So that's a test screening that we do. And I did two of them and they were both very successful. So the thing about the movie is that people relate to it because everybody has regret of some sort, the one right. fashion or another, everybody has regret. And the message of the movie is, you know, don't end up like Dave and be at the end of your life and you can't do anything about this regret. You know, understand who you are and what you're doing and what's needed by the people that, you know, love you and you love, and, you know, and change your life when you have the opportunity to change your life, Otherwise, you're going to end up feeling like him for the rest of your life, which isn't so good.
Yeah, it's a very heartfelt, very different than Escanaba in the Moonlight or other films you've done. I mean, it's got a lot of heart. You had a great cast, and yep. You shot in Tennessee, and so where can people see that now, Bob? Is Grounded out there? Or are you still working through the process?
No, it's not out yet.
Okay.
Still working on the distribution process, and it'll have a meaningful distribution, which means that, you know, people will know of the movie as opposed to, you know, never heard of the movie, and they'll know of the movie, and they'll have access to the movie in all the various mediums and all the various ways. But we're getting some really strong interest in the movie, and I just haven't finalized putting a deal together yet. But most importantly, maybe you should talk about the Schwabba boys and their role, and as the writer and the director, I'm proud to say all of your scenes on both you and Joe, they all made it into the movie. Nobody got cut.
You know, it's so funny. First of all, yes, that was a really fun experience. Joe got down there. I have a 21-year-old son who is pursuing acting, and he sent you a tape, an audition, and he got a couple-line role, and I was more concerned that he would get cut. I really wanted, you know, it's out of your hands, but I was really excited that his part made the movie, and I just assumed I'd be cut because I'm too handsome. But you're right, though. When we went to the premiere in Detroit last fall, it was just so much fun. It was the movie looks great. I mean, the production value is incredible, and you wrote it, you produced it, you directed it, and well done, man.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to keep us posted.
You know, I will definitely keep you posted. No doubt about that. But you know, if there are any of those independent filmmakers listening or wannabes listening, you know, it's a tough road. People don't, you know, as in so much in life. You know, it's not what people think it is. And it is definitely a ton of work. But there's something about it to be able to see it come to life and to elicit that emotional response that you're trying to elicit, whether you're watching people literally fall out of their seats inside the movie theater watching Escanaba in the Moonlight, literally falling out of their seats, gasping for air, you know, crying their eyes out with the Grounded. It's still... I think that's the hook. That's the drug that gets you.
It is. And once you experience it, you're hooked. Like you said, it's like, that's all you want to do. It's like when I did stand up and I would tell a joke and it got a laugh, I was like, oh my God, it's a pretty good feeling. I just made people happy. That makes me happy. You know, whatever. It's a very intoxicating feeling, but, keep up the great work, Bob. And, next time when you get some information on the distribution, come on back and we'll talk about that a little bit. We can tell people where to see, Grounded starring, Pete and Joe Schwabba.
Pete and Joe Schwabba, that's right.
We do have top billing,
position,
right?
Old man.
Okay. All right. I thought I explained that's what I needed to do the picture. But I called it a
above
picture.
Above the title.
Yeah, above the title. That's it. Bob, thank you so much, buddy. You're the best. Have a great night. And
thanks, Pete. Okay.
Thanks for being on Nightlife.
Appreciate it.
All right. Later.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye. That's Bob Brown, filmmaker Bob Brown, Michigan-based filmmaker Bob Brown. He has done it all for Michigan, and he's very proud of that. Like, you know, most people have to go to one coast to the other. Bob's made it work all in Michigan. And check out his work on IMDb. He's made several other very, he's worked, I didn't even get to ask him about, but he worked with Kathy Bates, Joan Allen, and Jessica Lange in a film called Bonneville. He had three Oscar winners or Oscar nominees. That's pretty cool. All right. In just a few minutes, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here. But otherwise, this is another big day. It's National Titanic Day. Did you know that, Conrad?
I did not know.
All right. And one of the people that was on the boat is buried here in Green Bay. We're going to talk about that next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt and Air on Air.
Welcoming Arizona to the 1860s. Arizona's highest court upheld an 1864 law. Physicians are now on notice that all abortions except those necessary to save a woman's life are illegal. When do we decide she is sick enough or close enough to death that I need to do this procedure to save her life? None of that is codified.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything off.
What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
not. You would just start freaking out.
Yeah. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. This is, Conrad, did you see the movie Nightlight? Not Nightlight, Titanic. Good God. Big difference, I hope.
Yes, I have seen it, but it's been a long time since I've seen it.
I didn't know this, but there was a guy from Green Bay that was on the boat, and his name was Dr. William Edward Minahan. I think I'm saying that correctly. He was, first of all, this is National Titanic Day, so I don't know if people knew that. Did you know that?
I did not know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big day. And the Titanic was supposedly unsinkable. I am still perplexed. It just must have been going super fast, but it crashed into an iceberg. And I always picture a boat of that size just going very slowly. So yeah. Even though it hit the iceberg, it would be like a bump. Well, it shows you what I know. I was wrong. It sunk. It was the biggest boat ever, and it sunk. But in the movie, which was Oscar-winning in 1997, Jack Dawson's character, who's played by Leo DiCaprio, was from Wisconsin. He allegedly grew up ice fishing in Lake Wissota, which did not exist. It's man-made, and it didn't exist until years after the Titanic sank. I think they probably did that because it was mentioned in the Titanic as a fictional area. But the film has an actual factual connection to our state, and especially to this area. As I mentioned, Dr. William Edward Minahan, a local historical figure, died. He is buried inside Green Bay's Woodlawn Cemetery. And I'm looking at a picture. He's got this like kind of crypt. It's a big to do. It's like kind of set apart from the other graves. It's an alleyway. Riverside Drive in the village of Alloway, Woodlawn Cemetery. It's the final resting place of the area's historically acclaimed citizens. One of them sits in a relatively small mausoleum known locally as the Minahan Crypt. Isn't that weird? First of all, it's weird that they were able to recover his body. I mean, I guess not everybody sank 2 miles below the surface. Some people just probably died and were, but they have his body there. And I saw this on Up North News, which does a great job. They just post really cool stories from time to time. He was part of a prominent Green Bay family, the Minahans, and I guess he was better known in Fond du Lac. He was a doctor. But on April 15th, he was leaving Ireland and bought a first-class ticket, and he was traveling with two women. I want to say one of them was his wife. I read this morning and I've already forgotten. But no, I'm sorry. His wife, Lillian, and his sister, Daisy. They were also in the same cabin. They escaped on lifeboats, but Dr. Minahan was not as fortunate. They were awakened by the sound of a woman crying outside their cabin. They got on lifeboats. William did not. His last words to them were, "Be brave." Like, that could have been in the movie.
That could, yeah, wow.
You know, that's pretty dramatic stuff. And the fact that, well, I guess the two women lived and they're just reporting this. It's like oral history or whatever, but pretty cool stuff. And he's buried here at Woodlawn Cemetery. It just goes to show you, and we, pardon me, when we launched Nightlight, I was trying to reach out to people around the state. I want to know, who is from your town? What is something cool that happened in Baraboo or Ashland or Eau Claire or Mineral Point? Folks, feel free to share these stories with me because I find them fascinating. And this guy right here has been buried, you know, for decades, obviously, right here in Green Bay. And they're encouraging people to go see it,
with this article, basically saying, just be respectful when you visit. And do not enter the cemetery at night. If you have to be told that, something's wrong with you. I don't need to be told not to enter a cemetery at night. Pardon me. The ship only had 20 lifeboats and 1,500 people died. It was considered unsinkable. That's really interesting. So there you go. National Titanic Day. A little more dramatic than National Laundry Day.
Just a little bit.
I digress. But you can still get in on that fun. How many times can you wear clothes before washing them? What's appropriate in your mind? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Are you monitoring those texts, Conrad?
I am.
Okay, good.
Here's a question, though.
Yeah.
How many times do you wear socks before washing them?
Well, I got to tell you, I wear socks once. But unless, yeah. Let's say this. Let's say if I go to bed at night in clean socks, let's say I showered just north of 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hung around the house. If I'm getting up, if I'm just going to run errands or I'm going to do yard work or something, I'll put the same socks back on.
Okay. Yeah.
But I will say this. When I was your age, I was kind of like you. Like I had to, no, clean socks. I'm not putting those on. Like, and as I got older, I'm like, there's not a disease on them, basically. I mean, how gross are your feet that you can't wear them for 4 hours in your house and put them on to do yard work? You know what I mean?
I'd give them the day rule, you know. I can wear them for a full day.
Okay.
And then they have to go in the laundry.
So that's your, okay. That's not too bad. So you would do that too. You'd wear them the next day. You'd give them a second wearing.
Well, I'd like, yeah, if I got out of the shower and put socks on for some reason, then yeah, I'd wear them the next day again.
Okay. Does that same rule apply for underpants?
I don't know. I think I'd just put some new ones on.
I'm surprised I didn't get anything for underpants. That's one of the funniest words in the English language. Nobody calls them that. Some people do.
There's a lot of different names for it. So
yeah, it seems kind of old school though. I go underwear. I don't know, but yeah, it's, and boxers are different too. Cause boxers you could probably wear 3 or 4 times.
Well,
no, you could, but boxers are not as, you know, they're not tidy whiteys or they're not going to absorb as much granular groinal area.
I still think you should watch it more.
Of course you should.
3 to 4 times, that's stretching it.
3 to 4 times. No way. No, I'm with you though. I kind of feel that way too. It's nice. We're bonding over a lot of stuff. And now Aaron's left and we've done some really good work here. So he's just gonna have to catch up later and listen to the podcast. Where can people listen to the podcast if they miss it the first time, Conrad?
Yeah, so we're on Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts. And we're on the Civic Media website, so civicmedia.us.
There you go. So, yeah, check us out. Give us a like if you're in the mood. There are some birthdays today. Before we get to Chris Foran, I'm very excited to talk to Chris. Do you think the UP should be part of Wisconsin or Michigan?
Well, it's connected to us. So
it is.
I think it should be part of Wisconsin.
But do you really want it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's beautiful up there.
Oh, it is. Oh, of course, it's beautiful. But I find that I've when I ask people this, they're kind of like, yeah, it should be ours. They're like, yeah, but I don't care. It's not like we're going to go to war over this thing.
No, right? No one's going to go over war for that.
For the UP.
But I always found it fascinating how it's connected to us and it's Michigan's.
Yeah, I'm with you. Tom Jefferson's birthday today. He did some good work back in the day. Al Green turned 78. When we come back from wherever we go, I'm trying not to say that. Coming up next on Nightlight. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, entertainment reporter Chris Foran. Always fun to talk to Chris. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates. CBS News Brief. Former President Trump will return for day two of his hush money trial in New York, the day after dozens of jurors who said they couldn't be fair or impartial were dismissed.
It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial.
The judge has ordered him to be present in court for every day of the trial. Israel's military chief says his country will respond after weekend airstrikes.
The IDF remains ready to counter any threat from Iran and its terror proxies as we continue our mission to defend the state of Israel.
House Speaker Johnson wants to tackle funding for Israel and Ukraine in four separate bills that could get a vote this week.
It really was the will of my colleagues to vote on these measures independently and not have them all sandwiched together as the Senate had done.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin maker of firefighting foam has reached a $750 million settlement with public water systems with harmful PFAS chemicals in their drinking water. Tyco Fire Products use foam containing PFAS at its firefighting training facility in Marinette. 3M and DuPont have also recently settled PFAS lawsuits over polluted drinking water. U.S. House Republicans will have just a one-vote majority after Wisconsin's Mike Gallagher steps down Friday. Former Northeast Wisconsin Congressman Reed Ribble says he's not alarmed.
Let's face it, Congress really isn't doing anything, and they're not going to be doing anything. This last few months in session is going to be all messaging bills.
Ribble on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Who do you want making the decisions for your daughters if you're a girl dad? I have two girls, 14 and 12, and I still consider myself pro-life. But here's the thing. I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do and being intrusive in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I want a bunch of theocrats getting in the middle of my daughter's life.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A little sunshine this morning, but clouds will increase with scattered thunderstorms by late this afternoon. It's going to be windy and colder with a high of 61 today. Rain tonight and tomorrow, an inch to an inch and a half or more possible by the time everything winds down late tomorrow afternoon. Our high tomorrow, 62. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Bust in pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Bust in pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I'm really excited right now because I've wanted to have this guy on for a while. He is a legendary stand-up comedian. You know him as Tom Dreesen. Tom, welcome to Nightline.
Pete, it's nice to talk to you. Let me tell you how I became a legend. All my critics are dead.
Did you have anything to do with that? Don't say anything, Tom.
No, I refuse to answer on the grounds it might incriminate me. I'll plead the fifth on that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Did
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Thanks so much for nightlighting with me. See what I did there, Conrad?
I did.
Pretty clever, huh? Tomorrow night on the show, comedian actor Rick Overton will be here, and WRJN morning host Don Rosen. We had Don on last week and totally ran out of time. It was not fair to Don, so we've decided to make it a mini series. He will be here tomorrow night, and Rick Overton has been in movies like Groundhog Day. Just a great comedian. Was a good friend of Robin Williams, part of that San Francisco comedy scene in the 1980s. He'll be here tomorrow night. I'm excited to talk to Rick. But right now, I'm excited to talk to and welcome my next guest as well. He is with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and an entertainment reporter. And his name, you might recognize from Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, Chris Foran. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for, as always, taking time out on a school night to spend time with us here.
Yeah, indeed.
You've had so many articles that I thought were so cool recently, I can't even keep track. Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Pardon?
So thanks for reading.
Oh, yeah. you're very welcome.
We do not take it for granted.
No, and you do great work. The Chris Farley movie, very interesting. Yeah. Why did this take so long, Chris?
My guess is it was a rights issue or something. A lot of times it's just somebody has to, you know, they have to option the book and then they have to find somebody to work on it. And they attach some names to it. You know, that usually helps.
Yeah. And his brother, it's based on his brother's book, which is right. Chris Farley, I think, A Life in Three Acts, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, The Chris Farley Show, right? Yeah, it's a good book.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, to put it, you know, an actor who's pretty good, Paul Waller Hauser, won an Emmy last year. And
yeah,
he's been in a surprising number of interesting things, and so we'll see what happens. That just because there's people attached to it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it makes it closer to him.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think of when you think of Chris Farley, Chris? Like in terms of, you know, a lot of people used to say Belushi was a really good actor despite how funny he was. Would you put Farley in that category? Or because he was a really talented guy. He was a pretty good actor.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, Tommy Boy is probably a generational. I mean, I'm a little old for it, but Tommy Boy was sort of a generational classic for its time. And I think a lot of times when a comedian, you know, starts playing like dramatic roles, they're really playing a version of themselves. And
yeah.
So you get the humanity of Chris Farley in a way, like in especially in movies like Tommy Boy. I still think of him in a sketch on Saturday Night Live, the Chris Farley Show, you know, where he's interviewing famous people. His interview with Paul McCartney was still one of my favorite Saturday Night Live moments.
So great. I mean, the Chippendales thing he did with Patrick Swayze, it was such an easy laugh, but it was so like that guy could commit, you know, and that to me is what made him so great.
He was all in from minute one.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And Josh Gad will direct. That's interesting too. So that should be, I really hope they crush it. That seems like it'll be a good film. So I have another question for you, Chris, and this is a little controversial. I don't mean to stir up anything here. I don't want to get you in trouble. But should the UP be part of Wisconsin? Should we try to take it back?
Well, I live in a divided household. My wife is from Michigan. So I have to tread carefully on this. a cynical person, I'm not suggesting I am that person, might suggest that in the Toledo War, where Michigan and Ohio fought over Toledo and Michigan got the UP as a consolation prize, that they both lost. But I don't know. I mean, you think about it. I mean, it's very pretty up there.
Yeah.
There are not a whole lot of jobs up there. There used to be copper mines and things like that. And there used to be a big Air Force base. All of that is gone now.
So, yeah. I think if it was further south or if it was like had a better climate, there'd be 3 million people living. It's very beautiful.
It is very beautiful. Well, and the story that we published the other day was actually an offshoot of a story that I wrote a couple of years ago about how at one point Wisconsin was much, and when it was a territory, it was, or part of a territory, its borders were much bigger. I mean, Illinois encroached on the bottom.
Right.
They created Minnesota out of a chunk of the western part of that territory. And so it's not, we don't just lose stuff to Michigan. We lose stuff to all sorts of
things. Yeah, we're very precariously positioned here. I thought it was funny in your article, though, like, you know, everyone I talk to that says, and Conrad just said, yeah, that should definitely be part of Wisconsin if you look at a map. But everyone's right. Like, does it bother you? No. Like, no one really cares. It's like, it's not, yeah. And we didn't even lose it to Michigan. Michigan lost it, or Ohio lost it to Michigan, right?
Well, all of that was part of the same territory, right, at the beginning. And then Ohio was created, and there was a debate over whether, when Michigan, I think Michigan is formed after Ohio, so that there was a debate over what would happen with Toledo, because Toledo was a major city at the time.
And, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we didn't have it. I mean, this is all, you know, parlor tricks, really. But if you've been there, you know that, you know, the culture is pretty similar to northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, I think Wisconsin probably has fewer militias, but, you know.
I think also that people in Wisconsin, it's funny to me, like when you say something to people in northern Wisconsin or where I live about an accent, they're like, oh no, that's a Youper accent. Like, what right. happens when you cross this line to you? Like, it's a whole different dialect.
Well, when I was growing up, people always insisted that people here didn't have any accents.
Right. I love that one.
The mythology was that all the newscasters all came from the Midwest because there were no accents. It was just, you know, garbage. So.
And people are very, they're very sensitive about accents too. I always say like, what? Everywhere has an accent. Like when they make movies right. about people in Brooklyn, they talk like that, or in the South, and people don't get bent out of shape about it. You know, the Wisconsin right. accent is kind of a heart. It's kind of a warming, sing-songy, fun accent. Why do people get upset about it? I don't get it.
Yeah.
So do you have any Milwaukee Film Festival news for us, Chris?
You know, the thing that's interesting to me about the Milwaukee Film Festival, you've been talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival, yeah. which I sadly have never been to, because they always do a great job, I think.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee Film Festival, the most popular attraction every year at the Milwaukee Film Festival is the Milwaukee Film Festival. The movies are, not to denigrate any of the picks they make, they show some fascinating stuff. But I think when you go to screenings, people are just kind of like, they like to be there. You yeah. know, and there's a very, and you've been there. It's, there's a, yes. definitely a vibe at some screenings. I always put together a list of suggested picks that are, you know, formed by my interest too. But the brutal truth is that I go when I have an opening in my schedule. And,
right.
If, you know, if I don't, I'm not smart enough to take schedule days off, I just kind of like, I went on Sunday afternoon to a movie and I had a window of a couple hours. So I went to see a movie called Mountains at the Downer. That is made in set in the little Haiti neighborhood of Miami. And it was, I knew about the movie. It wasn't on my first tier of pick lists, and it was terrific, you know, and there are some things that are really, you know, that are standout type attractions there. I think tomorrow night, is it? They're showing The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Yeah.
It's a 1920 silent film with the Anvil Orchestra plays music accompaniment.
That's so the silent great. Film.
I've been to those in past years. Those are always amazing.
You put out a list, the 28 films, mm-hmm. suggestions. Obviously, I know you haven't seen all of them, just based on what you read, of course, too.
Yeah, right.
But what else? If people are still planning on going, is there a recommendation you can make? And I agree, that was a great way to say, because you're right, it is the festival. It's kind of, it's festive. It's an event. It's kind of a spectacle. Mm-hmm. Like, they love the film festival, just the fact that it's there.
Right. And there's, you know, there might be things that are not for you, but there's nothing that's right. like, you know, it's not like watching a B movie on television. Boy, that was a waste of my time. You're not going to have that experience.
Yeah.
You know? And there are some, like if you went to the Wisconsin Film Festival, there are a number of movies that are at this festival that were there. So like the Richard Davis documentary,
The String Theory. Yeah.
Yeah. That played it. Madison and is playing here. I don't know, when is that? Tonight, right now.
Really? Okay.
This afternoon, it plays again on the 20th. Caligari plays on the 18th, which is Thursday.
Some
of these movies are movies that you can see before they come to theaters proper, like Robot Dreams is their closing night film. It's nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated Feature. It's supposedly coming to theaters. I've seen trailers for it elsewhere later this summer. The movie Thelma with June Squibb as a 93-year-old woman who gets scammed by a phone scammer, and she decides to go after
him. Oh, yeah. I really want to see that. I love reading about that.
I think the festival's remaining screenings are sold out. But yeah, that's supposed to come to theaters. I saw that the Made in Milwaukee movie Corridor with Wes Tank, that is also sold out.
Right.
There are movies that I would have loved to have seen. I would love to see, like I really enjoyed the movie Drive My Car, which a couple years ago was nominated for Best Picture, a Japanese film, and the person who made, the director made that. Has a movie called Evil Does Not Exist.
Oh yeah.
And it's about people who live in a small village who discovered somebody's planning to develop a glamping site, you know, glamorous camping, and it could threaten their water supply.
Oh, and wow.
It's kind of an interesting movie.
That
is not the kind of movie that might get, you know, distribution here.
So, right.
Over the weekend, I managed to see Anselm also.
Oh yeah,
that only showed once though. So you can't see it now. But you don't often get to see a 3D documentary about a painter,
right?
You know, right. It doesn't happen a lot, you know. And so it's worth seeing.
Yeah, totally. My guest is Chris Warren. He is a entertainment reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking movies in the Milwaukee Film Festival. Did you see Angels of Dirt?
I didn't. I heard good things.
Yeah, it's good. It's Wendy. Yeah. Did you see her first film or her last film, I should say, The Smart Studio Story?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's good too.
That was
one that played Madison too, and I'm glad they're doing that now. It seemed like there used to be a rivalry between the two cities in general.
Sometimes there's a rule that if it plays one place, it can't play the other.
Yeah.
And until a couple of years ago, they weren't both in April. The Milwaukee Film Festival was in the fall, and they moved to April, I think, last year or the year before, I can't remember. And so that could be a factor. I don't really know. It doesn't seem like it's an issue anymore, though.
Yeah, well, that's good. I don't think the state is big enough where we should have these rivalries or these. I know they exist.
Right. And there are people who go to both, but not enough for that to be an issue.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Because sometimes Chicago Film Festival, which is huge, you know, they bring like Tom Cruise in and people like that. Sometimes they will have a restriction. That happens with concerts more than it does with movies.
But. Okay. Yeah, I like the way you said that too. Like you see films and there is something for everybody, but there are films I've seen at film festivals that I never would have seen were it not for the film festivals. And mm-hmm. that is what I love about them, in addition to the Q&As and everything. Mm-hmm. So... So I sent you some stuff I've been watching.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Let's discuss if you've seen anything on that list or if you're watching something cool, we should get into it.
Well, the only one, unfortunately I've gone in on a, everyone's binging, but I binge movies, which puts me in a smaller category. I think the only show that I've seen more than an episode of in that list was Ripley.
Oh yeah. Okay. What did you think?
I've only seen the first couple of episodes, so it's building. It's a very much a slow burn type show.
It is. It does pick up, Chris. I would
yeah.
say.
Oh, the... No. Yeah. Yeah. That isn't a criticism at all.
Yeah.
Andrew Scott is great in every single thing I've ever seen.
He is so good in this.
And you know, I've seen endless versions of, you know, that Patricia Highsmith wrote. I forget which Ripley this one is based on, Ripley novel. But like I've seen. Most of them,
yeah.
You know, the guy who made
The Talented Mr. Ripley
that I saw the other day, Anselm. Oh. He made a movie called The American Friend in 1977 with Bruno Ganz and Dennis Hopper that was based on a Tom Ripley novel.
Hey, let's pick it up right here, okay, Chris? We've got more with Chris Foran coming up on Nightlight. Next with Peach Wabba, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Letting someone else live their life in a way that you may not agree with, guess what? That's American. That's what we get to do here. We don't get to place our religious beliefs in a position of governmental endorsement so that we can exclude others from our educational systems, from our boardrooms. That ain't American. It isn't the Wisconsin that I know either.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Got a few more minutes here with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking movies and TV, as we so often do. Chris, yeah, and what I was going to say about Ripley was I kind of felt like it took, not that it wasn't interesting, but it did take a couple, there's a lot of setup, and they do it beautifully. I think it's very well shot. I like the black and white, but man, there are some episodes where horrible things are happening, and they're taking their time. So I'd be curious to know what you think once you get past those first couple episodes.
It's the versions that I've seen before are usually 2 hours, you know,
right.
And the most people that they know the story at all, they know the movie, The Talented Mr. Ripley with Matt Damon and
Jude Law, right?
Yeah, Paltrow and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right.
There's one in the early 60s with Alain Delon, the French actor, called Purple Noon. I mean, it's an endless font of interpretation.
Absolutely. You said you're more of a movies guy. I know that about you now. Have you seen anything you can recommend to us?
I'm trying to think of what I've seen lately. Like I said, I've been to the couple of things at the festival. I have a serious addiction problem with the Turner Classic Movies has an app called like a streaming app. It's like a DVR for Turner Classic Movies. And
oh, sweet.
What I end up doing is just sorting to what they most recently have shown or what's expiring next. And then I watch that. But what I saw in the theater. Oh, well, another one I saw at the festival that I think there's still some more screens of is a movie called Tokyo Cowboy about a salaryman, a guy, you know, working man in Japan who works for a big food conglomerate. And they discover they have an asset that they didn't know they had, a cattle ranch in Montana. And he goes there to try to make it more efficient. And of course you can imagine what doesn't happen.
I thought that sounded interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I really like Shirley, the John Ridley's biopic of Shirley Chisholm with Regina King. That's really worth seeing.
Was that at the festival? Was that at the Milwaukee Film Festival?
No, it did screen here one night. It's on Netflix.
Okay. He's great. He's so talented.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. A very thoughtful person. And patient with dumb reporters' questions, which is, I always appreciate.
What about Hundreds of Beavers?
You know, I missed it at the festival. Okay. And I know it's back. I know it's now on demand.
Yeah. They're coming on Wednesday. They're real interesting guys.
Yeah, it just came out today. And they also did the Lake Michigan Monsters.
Yeah, Lake Michigan Monster. I saw both of those at the Wisconsin Film Festival. Well,
I'm always thrilled that we've got people making movies here.
Yeah.
Despite all sorts of odds. And
absolutely.
And there are actually dozens of people making movies in Wisconsin. And they're getting distributed. You know,
right.
a local company in Milwaukee called Swift Motion Pictures that I think has 8 movies on the streaming service Tubi now.
Oh, really?
And, you know, Swift? I can't, that's impressive.
Very impressive. I think, have you been following the incentives and what's happening, that group trying to bring the incentives back to Wisconsin?
Because I've just read what the bill is.
Yeah.
What's your take on it?
Well, I think it's great. I think, to your point, there are a lot of really talented filmmakers in Wisconsin who are still making their stuff here, even without the incentives, which I find, you know, maybe they're using their own money or doing it guerrilla style. I don't know, but I really hope it passes. I think it would benefit the state in a lot of ways.
Well, I hope that it seems like they fixed one problem that the earlier version had, which is it makes it a little more accountable for like job creation and things like that.
Right.
The old one, the one they had that Public Enemies ate all of. The first year they had it, they had $5 million, and Public Enemies got $4.6 million of it. And they didn't spend any money here. It was like, what the heck, you know? And the reason it's worked in other places is that people get jobs. Once they get a job, they get another job. It's like any other field. Once you get work, you get more work.
And I think with Wisconsin, there's so much you can film here. There's lakes, farms, forests, cities, you know, that you can pretty much film it all here if you don't need palm trees or mountains. But, I hope it passes. But, awesome stuff, man. Thanks so much, Chris, as always. And let's touch base after you. I want to talk to you. I want to see Civil War. That's on my list. I'm very curious about that.
Me too. I tied up and I've got some travel in my schedule, so I'm going to probably have to wait a couple of weeks. But it's definitely high on my list, although the critical conversation on that is either there's a bunch of people saying it's not political enough, and some people saying it's too political. In other words, it's just like everything else in America. We can't agree.
How do you go into a movie going, that wasn't political enough for me, or that was too political? But it got good reviews, so I'll give it a chance, and maybe we can talk about that next time.
Okay. Sounds good.
Great stuff. Thanks so much, Chris. Much appreciated.
Good to talk to you, Pete. Thanks.
You too. That's Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He does great work there. Check out his stuff. Just Google, like I do, Chris Foran, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I loved maybe we should take back the UP. I've had about enough of Michigan's crap. I'm just going to be honest.
I agree.
Conrad, I'll send you as an emissary, and you can get the ball rolling.
Sounds ball good.
I've lined up a meeting with several militias, have banded their forces together. And I think with your diplomatic skills, you'll do great. So have you seen, you haven't seen Civil War yet? It just came out last weekend.
I've seen the trailers for it and everything, and it looks really interesting. I think I do want to see it. It seems pretty bleak.
Everyone I've seen that has talked about it, like, I kind of thought it was going to be political, but I think it leans left, which I was surprised at, because I have friends on Facebook who kind of lean right, and they were like, I can't wait to see that. Now maybe they hate it or something. I don't know, because it leans a certain way, but you can make anything political. Like that sweatshirt of yours, buddy. I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
The Green Bay Packers sweatshirt.
Green Bay Packers, yeah. We need a better question. Tomorrow night, we got to have a better, I already have, you think there's a question there with the UP? Should we take it back?
Should we take back the UP?
I don't want to.
That's a great question.
Is it? Do you think people care? I don't care. I mean, that's if we annex the UP back to Wisconsin, which if you look at a map is where it should be, we're adding 6 billion mosquitoes to our state. That's the way I look at it. I don't think we need that. All right, tomorrow night on Nightlight, more tomfoolery and more ass jackery. Rick Overton will be here. Can't wait to talk to Rick. I've not talked to him in so long. He's a very successful actor and comedian. He will be here tomorrow night at 7:35. Don Rosen joins us at 8:20. It's going to be more night. It's going to be a lot more light in that night. And we will be right here with you, hoping you'll join us again tomorrow night. I'm Pete Schwabe. Thanks for listening to Nightlight. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell.
This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.